The B team's here here today. Our A team, as far as preaching is concerned, has been called home because Erica's grandfather passed away, and so we need to keep them in prayer. They'll be back today. The service was yesterday, and they'll be back this afternoon. And I'd like to invite, like Aaron mentioned, everyone that can come to our 6 o'clock meeting tonight. My goodness, it was so good last week. You don't want to miss it, because we're learning how to pray through Scripture, and I believe God is really going to use this as an increase in the kingdom and an increase for Gateway. Just to encourage you to come. As we move into the next message of the theme, let me just remind you that our theme or vision at Gateway can be summed up into three words: meet, move, and multiply. And Brandon is on a theme as in the middle part of that move. You know, if we're going to see increase in the kingdom, people are on our agenda, because we have to meet them and so impress them of our love for Jesus that we share the gospel with them, and they're going to move into a place called the kingdom. They're going to meet Jesus, and I tell you, that is the happening of all happenings, and that's what we'll talk some about this morning. We're going to meet Jesus, and he will cause us not to be who we used to be. We're going to move after we've met him. We can't help but be moved by whom we've met, and so we will move. And to the extent, Jesus said, you'll go make disciples, and therefore his name and his mission will be multiplied. So we meet people, we move on what we've met, and we become multiplied throughout the earth. I wish I had statistics this morning to tell you how many people from 1 to 12, and now how many millions of people know the Lord through their message. Don't ever be discouraged in the fact that the kingdom of God will increase to the point that the glory of God shall fill the earth. And that's the word of God. It may be for the generations beyond me, and that's okay. We know that God's word is for sure, and he has the last word, and therefore the glory of God will fill the whole earth through the kingdom. So we're on that part of move, and Brandon focused last week on lost people are our objective. And then he handed me a subject that I've enjoyed for many, many years, and that is that we have to have the Holy Spirit as our guide. And that's going to be our thought this morning. I'd like to begin with prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time together. We're so glad to just be a part of the family of God, like Aaron has shared. The family of God means so much in so many ways, but when we are knit together in love, your work gets done. Thank you for your many blessings. We ask you, Lord, to open your word to our hearts this morning, and just wash us, Lord, with your word and your spirit. Let us be encouraged, changed, challenged to move forward in you through the guidance of your spirit. We pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. We're going to read our text this morning, and Eddie will put it up here for us here. And I'll read it if you all want to stand with me in respect for the word of God. We really like this habit. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. The word of the Lord. You can be seated. It's an interesting subject that can be talked about for hours, how that we are redeemed, as Paula just sang so beautifully. I'm telling you, she was not the B team. Wow, wasn't that great? I refreshed my own heart. I always have a fear of standing before people, but I tell you, when I hear the Spirit and give myself to the Spirit, all fear is gone. And that, in a moment's time, that happens for me, Paula, as you and the other gifts among us sing, and we begin to worship God, and He just causes us to be relaxed in His Spirit. Isn't God good? But Jesus, I want to tell you right away, when you get into His approach to the cross, He knew at some point in His life why He came. And I'm going to ask Him someday, when did you really realize who you were? Wouldn't that be an interesting thing to know? We know by age 12 He knew what His mission was and knew who He was. But at some point, when He was trying to get across to the disciples that something that they didn't understand yet was about to happen, He gave us these words, like is our text this morning. He said, I've got to go away. And I want to read to you some of the other things in correlation with this that He said about the Holy Spirit. And these are all found in various places in John chapter 14 through 16. If you ever want to be encouraged at any time in your life, start with John chapter 14 and read all the way through 17 and soak yourself in this truth that Jesus was approaching here to His disciples. So I'm going to read some more of this to you. He said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you." Now, Jesus was talking about the Holy Spirit coming, and He said, I've been with you, and you know Him. He's been with you, but He's going to be in you. So, see, there's a connection between Jesus and the Holy Spirit that's totally one. In other places, He would say, don't you know that the Father is speaking through me? So we see something about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They're one and yet three. Jesus said, I've got to go away, but the Helper is coming. He's been with you, but now you're going to know in the future He's going to be in you. And He's went ahead to say, these things I've spoken to you being present. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. When this Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me, and you shall bear witness, because you've been with me from the beginning. Another place He said, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you, and when He comes, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for He will take of mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said He will take of mine and declare it to you. Now, there's some things in here that we can be reminded of. When Jesus said, I must go away so that the Helper can come. There are things I need to tell you, but you can't bear them yet. I believe that whatever he told those 12 also continually applies to today's disciples, down through the last 2,000 years. We can take his words to the disciples and almost every time say, these are words to me, because we are his disciples. And just as Jesus saw that they were going to need some help, we're going to need some help. I don't know about you, but I've noticed the times when I've been boxed in a corner and needed some help. I've noticed the times when I had more questions than I had answers for. And I've noticed the times, especially looking back, when in spite of myself, the Lord led me through them, a situation. You never can really tell what's happening at the moment when you're in a difficult situation, the whys and the wherefores. But a few years later, you can look back. Now I see why that happened. Has anybody besides me ever had that to happen? So, first we can declare or understand this. Receiving things from God is a continual, ongoing process. Emphasize the word process. Although we receive the Holy Spirit, we don't receive the understanding, the full understanding of God, do we? In fact, I could say to you clearly that the more I've understood God in the last 50 years, has certainly been a process, but the more I've understood him, the more I've learned that there are more things that I don't know than I do know. He gets bigger and bigger. So, fresh revelation from the Spirit, first of all, is a process. We can't bear the whole load up front right when we come to the Lord. We turn our lives over to him, and the Lord knows that we need to be spoon-fed just like a baby. And this leads me to my beginning point that I want to be sure and make. Jesus said, to see the kingdom of God, you must be born again. And so there's a priority. Before we're led by the Spirit, we have to be birthed by the Spirit. And in fact, he said in one of these scriptures, I'm going to give you a helper that the world cannot receive. So if you're here this morning and you've given your life to Jesus, if you've made him Lord of your life, you're exclusive. I mean, you're truly blessed, because not everyone understands the Redeemer came to redeem us out of our sin nature. And once we give our life to him, we're not who we used to be. We are born again. When Jesus tried to explain this to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he had the dilemma trying to think it out through the flesh. He said, how can I be born again? Shall I enter my mother's womb? And Jesus said clearly, you've got to be born of the flesh. And what was the next thing? Of the Spirit. For flesh and spirit takes both to enter and see the kingdom of God. We have to be breathing human beings. Born of the flesh, we've got to be breathing spiritual beings born of the Spirit to see the wonderful kingdom of God. And I've learned that almost everything that we understand in the natural realm transfers to the spiritual realm. If you meet another brother and sister that's been born of the Spirit, you've met one of your sisters or brothers, even if you can't even speak their language. I brought a picture this morning to just to show you how beautiful an innocent baby looks. If you can forward to my slide, Eddie, I've got one there. There she is in all of her beauty. There's two of them here, and this is Janet and my latest grandchildren, or this is Stella and Bertie, Lucy and Ben's at Fayetteville, and we get down there as often as we can. But I want you to look at that face there, that delightful face of a two-year-old. But then look at the little one she's holding on to, her little sister. How many of you have held one of these recently? I mean, isn't it neat? They're totally helpless. They're absolutely innocent. And that's a big word. They haven't lived long enough to really commit any sins at all. They're just a picture of the beauty of God. All the moving parts are there. But they're entirely dependent upon mom and dad. And if it's true in the natural, it is so true in the spiritual. If we come to Jesus, or say that we have been a Christian for a while and we've run across somebody that has a hungry heart, and we realize, just like Nicodemus was before Jesus, that we must be born again. Here's what happens. As soon as we say yes to Jesus, as soon as we receive the truth that he died for our sins, as soon as we ask him to be Savior and Lord of our life, we've got an innocent little baby that's held in the Father's arms. And I want to especially leave this as a deposit in our hearts. This is necessary because if we're going to help others come into the kingdom, we're going to have to be the extension of the Father's arms. And we're going to have to hold some babies and change some diapers and take care of those that God has given us. And we're going to be, you might say, the Holy Spirit working through us to help them learn to walk. And as I look out at you guys, I believe that I'm speaking more to disciples that are going to be of assistance in this way than I am to unbelievers who haven't really stepped on board. So I want to bring both sides into this. If you've never turned your life over to Jesus, today is the best day of your life. We want to do that. We want you to do that before you leave today. We'd feel that baptismal greatly, and it just takes a few minutes. And you can become one of those babies that God delights in and loves dearly. So I want you to know, the first thing that we need to understand, before we're guided by the Spirit, we have to be birthed by the Spirit. Jesus said it, I didn't. We used to sing this little song. To be God's children, you got to be born again. And let that soak into our hearts. We just don't do good things. We accept the sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus moves in. So, we know one, we're born with a purpose. This morning we read part of Psalm 139. Our Father saw our days even before there were any one of them. He set us on a purpose. He knows those who are going to receive and walk with him and those who are going to say no. And our days are laid out for us before there's even any one of them. That blows my mind. We're born with a purpose, and the purpose must be born in us. We know that it's a process. It's an on-the-job instruction and training. There are things that we cannot bear at some point that we'll be able to bear at another, and it's called growth. Did you know in the natural that anything that has life in it is designed to grow? So we know that if we have spiritual life in us, we're designed to grow. And we'll keep growing until the Lord comes. I'm going to ask you a question. Sometimes we sing songs about Monday morning coming down and what a bad day it is and all that kind of thing. I'm going to ask you, after you have asked the Lord into your heart, and after you have been born of the Spirit, and after you have realized that the Spirit of God is in you to guide you and grow you, are there any bad days? Are there really any bad days? Why do we talk like the world does? Have you ever heard a Christian say, this is just a horrible day? This is really a terrible day. Well, let me tell you. James said, by the Spirit, count it all joy when you have various trials. Did he not say that? And the result of that will be your growth. Well, maybe some of our bad days is God's best days for us. And I've run across some days I didn't have answers for. I've shared with you guys one of the worst dilemmas I ever had was when my late wife Becky was given the news that she had a terminal disease and she would not live over 5 to 7 years. That was not a seeming good day. And for the next 5 years, it seemed to be not a good day. You know, I'm summing it up. But I learned before that day came that God's presence was so awesome for the two of us. We became closer than we'd ever been. We kept her in our home. I had some nurses come and help. And she embraced the Lord in such a way that the awesome peace of God settled on her and our whole house. People would come into it, into our house, and just be amazed at God's presence because God moved in. And I get goosebumps just thinking about it. There were things happened and things that God spoke during those days that someone would say these are awful days that become the most awesome time of both of our lives. And we really realized what we knew mentally, that death has no victory. Jesus has conquered death. Death is really what we call death, a graduation into real life. I got a vision of heaven that's fantastic that I didn't used to have. There's part of me can't wait to get there because I tell you, God's going to be there in His glory and in His presence. And if we think this is a taste of heaven, I tell you, I know by the Spirit, it's going to be awesome there. And you don't want to miss it. Becky and I learned that together. We had times of closeness and prayer and intimacy with God that we wouldn't have had except for that. God planted a seed in me that I love to preach about. I tell you, He's greater than our understanding. We've tried to put God in this earthly thinking and our fleshly minds, and He didn't fit there too well because He said, you're born from another place and your citizenship is from there. If you want it to be here, just go ahead and soak in your wearisome ways. But there's a higher way and there's a higher place. And we can say this morning as children of God that we're born from above and citizens of heaven. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! I just feel it all over me that there's an awesome gospel that we preach and an awesome inheritance that we take for granted. And God means us to know there are no bad days for His disciples. Glory to your name. I can tell you the rest of the story. And you've heard me say it before. I love to tell it. But Janet is such a huge blessing to my life. He gave us a new life together. And it's unexplainable. He fit us together and just continues to pour out his blessings. She came through a similar place and realized that God is the Lord. And I'm just telling you that God is good. No matter what trials, testings he takes us through, if you'll surrender your heart at those moments, at those times, and turn him in complete control and let the Spirit guide your life, he will grow you up and mature you and hopefully in some way make us useful communicators to the next generation. The next generation. God's got his heart. He's a generational God. And he means for us to do what David did and serve the purpose of God in our generation. If the Holy Spirit would allow me, how I would love to go into a junior high classroom and tell them, God's future rests upon you and you need to be born from above. The awesome future that could come to you if you'll turn your life completely over to God, you can carry this wonderful message forward until the glory of God fills the earth. Hallelujah. Born with a purpose. There are no bad days. And I want to tell you, when the Holy Spirit moves in and takes control in our lives, we realize the truth of the Scripture as it's woven for us the last 6,000 years is one embodiment of truth. With one message that Paula just got through singing about, the Redeemer lives. And if he lives in you, there are three things that you need to understand. You are made body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says that the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we understand that. But he doesn't live in houses made with hands. He comes to live in us. And that's why we're here this morning. Is God lives in his people. And when we gather together, we become a household of his presence. Doing good. Serving those in the world that need us. Serving our community wherever we're gifted to serve. Together we form a body. And God looks over the balcony of heaven and he doesn't just see Gateway Church, he sees thousands of churches. And together they form the service, the extension of Jesus in the earth, the preaching of the gospel. We are body, soul, and spirit. The thing that I want to focus on before we leave this morning is that spirit man in each of us. When we accepted Jesus and asked the Holy Spirit into our life, it came alive. If you vision a cave, a dark room, when you ask Jesus in, he flipped a switch on. And that switch came on, your spirit woke up. Since we're born sons of Adam and Eve, it's been a darkened room. But when Jesus moves in, he said the helper would come and he'd be the guide of your life. I'm telling you, God flips a switch on. If you're born from above, you need this switch on. You'll no longer be negative, you'll be positive. He'll shift you from, he'll transform us from the former kingdom into the kingdom of light. It's no longer a kingdom of darkness. It's a place where God is. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. He can see just as good in the dark as in the light. We are people of light. And he deposited in our spirit three things. A conscience. We're able to tell when we did wrong, especially if we've washed our conscience in his word. It needs to have a place where it is programmed. Each of us have a conscience. Where does it come from? It comes from our Lord who created us. What else do we have? We have a commune place, a place of prayer within our spirit. I think is a common denominator in the word called the heart. The innermost part of us is where we commune with God. Now, I'm talking about one part of our being, our spirit. If we've come alive, we have a conscience and we have a communicator. His spirit communicates with our spirit. That's in the Word. Our spirit communicates with His spirit. In fact, when the disciples would come together, they knew what the mind of the Spirit was. In the book of Acts, when they came together at Jerusalem Council, they didn't really know. They could think it out with their mind. But they sent the letter, and it said, "It seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit." They knew what the mind of the Spirit was. We need to be people that commune with God. We can know what we think, and then we can isolate that and say, "And I feel the Spirit in this." The Spirit communes with us if we'll give Him room. The Spirit can be easily grieved. If we continue going our own way, sinning our own sins, making self a focus, we'll lose that sensitivity to communing with the Holy Spirit. He's able to be grieved. We need our spirit guide, the Holy Spirit, to be sensitized through prayer. Therefore, our heart will bow and we will commune with God. And I'm speaking even of our meeting tonight. We will learn how to pray the Word of God back to Him so that He sharpens our communication. We'll be able to hear the more we commune with God. Make a quiet place for just you and the Spirit, and you'll sharpen your ability to listen to the Spirit. When Janet calls me, and she does often during the week, I'm able to recognize her voice because I hear it often. That's what I'm talking about. If I'd only heard it once, went for a year or two without hearing it, probably would say, "Who are you?" Ever been in a place with the Spirit and not fully know if you're hearing the Spirit? I have. I think, "Is this you, Lord?" Just like little Samuel, somebody spoke, "Who was this that spoke?" I want to be a candidate for hearing the Lord and knowing His voice. I want to be that candidate. I'm going to tell you, I'm not there yet, but I'm working on it. I want to appeal to you to work on that. Listen to the Spirit enough to where you discern His voice. Because more often than not, it might be different than yours. So we have the communicator. We have the conscience. I want to give you one more. We have the ability to be intuitive. I think women have it more than men. They have an intuition. I think God is especially gifted that whole gender, the gender thing, but it's not exclusive, guys. We can learn how to perceive. I want to do this biblically. How many times did you notice in Scripture the disciples would be thinking something and Jesus perceived what they were thinking? And He would respond to their perception. And I could give you examples of that, but I want us to move on to disciples because we're not Jesus. And of course, He could hear His Father, and we know some special times when He did that. He didn't go pray for Lazarus immediately because He perceived the time wasn't right. When the disciples wanted to go, they would have wanted to go right away. He said, "Not right. Not time right." So there's a perception from the Father that Jesus had, and He said, "As the Father sent me, I send you." So I'm telling you, I believe we need to be perceivers. We need to have a sharp conscience. We need to be in communion with Him. And we need to perceive what's really being said or what's really being asked in certain situations. When Peter And even Paul, in certain situations, perceived in the book of Acts. They acted on their perception. Remember when Cornelius went to send for Peter? Peter, when he saw the sheet coming down from heaven, that he wouldn't partake of these foods, he knew better. But then he perceived, after three times, that this was God. And not only that, Cornelius perceived that, even from an angel, that he was sent for Peter, whom he didn't even know. So there was a perception, an intuitiveness, that God gives us in order to guide us by His Spirit. And I hope I'm whetting your appetite just as I am my own. I'm pointing back to me. I want to be a better perceiver. And I would like the church to perceive by the Spirit. Certain things we try to judge, and one of the instructions from the Apostle Paul, he said, don't judge according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If we're going to judge something happening in God's church or in our lives, we better perceive by the Spirit and not the flesh. Because oftentimes we have missed it, judging something not to be God, when it was God. Let me interject one thought here. I won't run down this rabbit trail. But you can't put God in a box. He'll break out of your box. So our minds try to perceive God a certain way, and we write it all down. This is what God is. And then he laughs. I believe he does. He says, huh, you tried to put me in that box? I'm going to move by my Spirit over here. This happened to me when I was in the charismatic movement, and suddenly Catholic people started seeing miracles. I was around people. How can that be? They are so ordered. how could that happen? But we soon perceived that sure enough, the Holy Spirit had visited a place that we didn't at that time have in our realm of acceptance. You understand what I'm saying? We put God in a box. He moves outside of what we perceive to be right. And we have a struggle in the middle of that. Now this morning, we're talking about being guided by the Spirit. I'm telling you, we need a better commune with God. We need a sharper conscience through His Word. And we need to be perceivers. The Spirit is moving on, far beyond my imagination. Let's not miss it this morning. I want to give you one illustration. It just happened yesterday. Janet and I have put our house on what's called Airbnb. We have many visitors come and visit us, and we've really enjoyed it. It's been something we enjoy doing. We've even had people from Great Britain. I've had fellow Christians come from different parts of the country. And it's just been our thing, and God led us into it. I really know He did. But last night, we ran into something rather different. We had a young man signed up to come visit us, and he was going to bring his mother and small child. When he got there, he was a delightful young man. He stopped me from mowing. I'd been out mowing all day. And he said, are you and Janet going to be here? I said, sure we are. We stay on the other end of the house while you're here. And I could tell he was kind of shocked by that. He didn't think we were going to be there. He said, well, I'm having some friends over. I said, that's good. We love having you to have friends over. And he said, well, I just didn't want to surprise you, but we thought we'd use the pool. We have a swimming pool up there. That's great. That's what it's there for. And he said, well, I didn't want to be a shock to you, but we're going to have several friends. Okay, we like to have a party. And so I shut my mower down and went to help gather up some chairs. I said, if you're going to have several, would 10 chairs help you? And he said, oh, yeah, that'd help. So I went and got all the chairs we had and brought them up there, and then in came a storm. The wind started blowing. And a car pulled up, and they started unloading sound equipment. And I said, well, if you're going to have sound equipment, looks like my radar says it's going to rain. If you want to set it up underneath this little section of roof, I'll get you a tarp so it'll protect it, because sometimes these rains blow through in a short period of time. So we set it up. The wind came, and God increased the wind down in Malvern, and he blew the tarp away. The beach balls started rolling way over the fence and down across the neighbor's yard. I have no idea where they're at. And it was mostly wind, but it was fierce wind. And the DJ and the sound equipment, it just fell over. And they were trying to just capture it the best they could. And I'm thinking, I believe this party's over. And then, in a few minutes, people started coming. And the pool went off because all the electricity went off. And in Malvern, you never know when it's coming on, once it goes off. And so there was four cars came, and then two more came. And they were sitting there, and after a while, the rain slowed down. People started getting out. And before I know it, Janet went shopping to Hot Springs, and I call her and tell her, did you know we're really having a party here? There's at least a dozen cars. And she said, I'll get there as quick as I can. And before she got there, we had 50 people, and the cars just parked everywhere. And the DJ and his group had left. They'd given up on that. But they pulled a car up by the fence and turned the sound way up, and they started packing in beer. And it was not one or two. They offered me one. It was 20 cases at least. When Janet got there, I got the young man aside, and I said, we're going to have a little talk. And I showed him where we were going to talk, right on the back porch. And he said, could we go in the house? And I said, nope, we're going to sit right here. And when Janet gets here, the three of us are going to talk. And we did. And the Holy Spirit, I think, touched both Janet and myself, because I was ready to read him the riot act and send them on their way. And just as I started, I did tell him, I said, you're a deceiver. You deceived us. And he smiled and didn't argue with that at all. And then I think Janet said something about we like parties here or something. I noticed she was okay with it. And my spirit shifted. And I said to myself, let's make an opportunity out of this. Before they left there, we had at least 100 people inside our small pool area, and some of you guys have been there. The music was loud, and we set down the rules. They couldn't go in the house except a little private half bath, and we intermingled with them. And before they left, there were several of them knew that I was going to preach this morning, and we were going to set a limitation on the time. And we talked to several of them about Jesus, and they had questions that were answered. And I thought, this has been a moment. God must have known that we were going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he gets me after my message and tests me on it. But this time I thought, this is the Spirit moving, an opportunity for you. And so I want to share that story with you to tell you, every day is a possible opportunity to turn something that looks like it's a mess and let the Holy Spirit guide you through it to become a witness, a testimony of something greater than you can see in the natural. When I was deciding to run them off, God says, embrace these people. There were a whole group. Every one of them seemed to be respectful. They did have a party. But they were respectful of old grandpas and grandmas like you never saw. And I was just amazed. I really was. And I told some of them, I really appreciated them and their respect for us. And at 11 o'clock, I went out and made an announcement. I said, we're going to go to church in the morning. I'd like for every one of you to be in church where you go and worship Jesus. And within 30 minutes, the whole thing was gone. And we got to go home and clean up some more mess. But I'm telling you, God is awesome when we give him control, full control of our lives. He'll go often. And he's proven this to me so many times. The opposite way of the way I thought it should go. Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for the beauty of your Holy Spirit that guides us into all truth. I'm asking you, Lord, to gather your people and strengthen and encourage them and make us firebrands for Jesus. I'm asking you, Lord, to sensitize our spirit with your spirit so that truly we could be your disciples. I'm asking you, Lord, to take away discouragement from any heart here this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you for this opportunity. We're going to have a song, and if anyone in your heart while we sing this song want to give your life to Jesus, or ask the Lord to fill you with his Spirit, now is your moment.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me because you died and rose again. I'm forgiven, 'cause you were forsaken. I'm accepted, you were condemned. I'm alive and well, your spirit is within me, 'cause you joy.